Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Digital Equipment Conference with Jeff Gibson as your host. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the 1, followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jeff Gibson. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Digital Equipment Corporation's teleconference discussing our strategy for the future. My name is Jeff Gibson, and I will be your host. With me today are Robert B. Palmer, Digital's Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer, and William D. Strecker, Vice President of Digital's Advanced Technology Group and the company's Chief Technology Officer. After brief remarks by Palmer and Strecker, we will then take your questions. The teleconference will end by 2:45 p.m. I'd like to introduce Bob Palmer, Digital's Chairman.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. My objectives today are just to do a couple things. I'm going to give you a brief overview of how we see the information technology environment today and share some thoughts on what we see as opportunities for digital. We've been hosting some strategy briefings for the industry analysts in some detail, and we certainly don't have enough time to go through the entire presentations, but I think that fundamentally most of you know that the information technology environment, so far as the computer industry is concerned at least, has been going through a wrenching change over the last several years from one that in the 1980s was characterized by vertically integrated computer companies such as IBM and Digital, to one that is really dominated by horizontal competitors, that is, people competing within segments of the computer industry, microprocessors, operating systems, applications, databases, and so on. And that digital then has been going through a process of adapting itself since I became CEO in 1992 to that new reality. Today we're organized by business units, as you know, on a worldwide basis, and we have a strategy that has focused on segments of the marketplace where we are going to compete according to the rules of the market that is appropriate for that segment. Those segments are our components businesses, our systems platforms, connectivity software, and client-server services. And what's new about this is primarily the addition of the connectivity software business unit concept. What it talks to is the fact that in this new information technology environment, the complexity has increased dramatically in terms of both inside a company, when within the company you want to connect different operating systems, different platforms, different applications to each other in a smooth and seamless way, and also between corporations in a intercompany networking, the opportunities are quite significant for a company like Digital that has a global presence and can help customers in dealing with those complexities. We have been talking about the longer-term strategy for Digital providing the connectivity that customers need both within their enterprises and between enterprises, that is, connecting them to their suppliers, their customers, their partners, and so on. In the last couple of days, we've been going through a great detail about the software products that we offer, how those have been separated to support each of the horizontal businesses, to support, for example, the services businesses with systems integration and multi-vendor customer services, what software that Digital has today that would be in those groups, what software we have that supports our platforms, for example, the operating systems, OpenVMS, Windows NT, Unix, the compilers and layered software products that are appropriate for each operating system, and what new software we're going to bring to the marketplace in the very near future to exploit the paradigm that's changing to take advantage of both Windows NT and the Internet opportunities. We've been investing for more than a year in the Internet and in Internet capabilities. Bill Strecker will speak to some of those capabilities that we have and that we plan to introduce. And, of course, we've been in a partnership with Microsoft for the last 3 years, which most recently was expanded dramatically, and Bill Gates and I spoke to that on October the 2nd. This trend toward the disaggregated market then has created an enormous increase in complexity. Customers want an integrated system that's going to connect all of this data in a seamless way, provide them competitive advantage in their marketplace, and we assert that Digital is the best partner to help them achieve that objective. As far as the discussion today, rather than give a lengthy speech, I'd prefer to let Bill talk a little about the connectivity software business unit that we've announced this week, and what our aspirations are, how we're going to define that so that we have a business unit that is multi-vendor, multi-platform rather, that is competing according to the business rules appropriate to the software marketplace, where we're selling software as a product to earn profit, not as a product to support platform sales or system sales specifically. I mentioned that it has to be multi-platform, and that it is a software that will address the need to make connectivity a reality for customers in the future. And that's what we've been talking about in these sessions. I'm going to close with that so that you have an opportunity to ask whatever questions are on your mind. I understand that many of you have received some excerpts, at least, from the speeches that we've been giving, and I hope that will provide a basis for your questions. Bill, let me give you a chance to say a few things about our connectivity software.
All right. Let me start just back one step from that and talk about our overall software strategy. And as Bob has said, we've been in the process this week of rolling out that software strategy, first to the financial analysts, then to the industry analysts, and we'll be rolling it out very aggressively over the next few days and few weeks to our customers and partners. We think we have a really compelling software strategy. We think we have one that's very responsive to customer and market needs and really exploits the various competencies that we have in software. The approach that we took in developing the software strategy was to identify what we think are the three major customer-driven market opportunities, the first one being high-performance enterprise applications on Unix, the second being Windows NT across the enterprise, and the third being connectivity, that is the connecting of resources within enterprises and across enterprises. We have basically, to each of these three market opportunities, generated what we think is the appropriate software response. For the high-performance Unix enterprise applications, we're going to continue developing our leadership 64-bit Unix environment. For Windows NT across the enterprise, we are going to be working very strongly with the capabilities provided by our Microsoft Alliance. We're going to be providing software products and capabilities that link Windows NT to OpenVMS to provide very strong integration of the Windows NT and OpenVMS environments. And for connectivity, we are going to create an entirely new business unit, a completely independent business unit, independent of our system and services business, which is focused solely on producing software for the connectivity market and for making money on the software alone. Now, as you know, Digital has an extensive portfolio of software products. So the next step in our software strategy was to align those products with the appropriate business context in the corporation. So we took software, which was solely dedicated to supporting our hardware platforms, and put that in our systems business unit. We took software, which was solely devoted to supplying SI solutions, and we put that in our systems integration business and our accounts business unit. And then the remaining software, which is focused entirely on connectivity, we placed in this new business unit, which we're creating, called the Connectivity Software Business Unit. So I think that with that, we have been able to communicate, I think, with very favorable response among the analysts, that we do have a very clear software strategy, that we have our software portfolio aligned in the appropriate business context, and that we're finally going to take our software competencies and put them in an independent software business unit that plays by market rules and will generate growth and profit for the corporation by itself.
We're ready for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1, followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your polling request, you may do so by pressing the 1, followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please, for the first question. Roy Nielsen, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, Bob Palmer. Roy Nielsen at the Telegram and Gazette in Worcester. Will there be more top management changes coming because of or about at the same time as the strategy briefing?
Well, we're out looking for a appropriate individual to lead the connectivity software business unit. What we're looking for there is a tested veteran of the software industry who has demonstrated an ability to create and manage and grow a business, familiar with the channels of distribution and so forth appropriate for that business. We're very fortunate to have plenty of technical depth around software, so it's not necessary that we have a large number of recruits here, but we do need, in my view, a seasoned executive to lead that particular effort. There's always some puts and takes in any business. The model that we have in digital today is one that's rather demanding of the executives. Each business unit leader has a very clear objective for their business unit. Not all of them achieve those objectives, and you know, I deal with that. So there's always the possibility of some changes. However, there's nothing of huge consequence that's planned for the immediate future.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, let me say, I realize that this is not the usual press conference that we do. I mean, normally when we're holding a short press conference, we're announcing some new, faster-than-anybody-else's microprocessor or system, or some new, more capable than anyone else's implementation of Unix, or some service that nobody else has thought of, like our PC utility or software utility. But since we've been briefing analysts in a great deal of detail around software, we felt like it might be helpful to give you this opportunity to ask any questions you had about what maybe you've heard. So I'd certainly welcome any questions about anything you've, rumors or anything you've heard about or anything you're curious about, or whether or not there was something that Strecker said or I said that didn't make any sense you'd like to clarify.
Next question, Michelle.
John Mulqueen, please state your company name followed by your question.
It's John Mulqueen, business editor of Communications Week. Can you tell me what software, existing software packages will be put into this new business unit and how much revenues you now generate from them and how much you're looking to generate from the entire business unit once you get it up and going?
Let me address the last two parts of that question. I'll let Strecker address the what software is going into that particular business unit. Since we're just creating the business unit, we've not broken out the revenues of our software products in that fashion from the past, so I really can't answer your current revenue question today. I will say that we expect significant revenue growth from this business unit, which is just now starting. And we expect to generate some significant revenues in the immediate future, that is, in this calendar quarter, although they're significant by the standards of a new business, not by the $14 billion computer company standards when you start something. But we're very optimistic about the longer-term outlook for this business. Bill, you want to talk about what software goes in there today and what some of the new products are likely to be?
Yes. In laying out some very detailed plans for this business before the analysts, we identified seven categories of software that would be in the connectivity software business unit. In six of those categories, we either have products shipping now or will be shipping before the end of the calendar year, and the seventh category will be shipping soon thereafter. So, in fact, we're not talking about a business that will take years to develop the first products and get them into the market. We're talking about a business that will have a significant jump start in that it builds on existing products and technology. Some of the products that are in the connectivity software business include our PolyCenter NetView product, which will be offered running on the NT platform, our Object Broker Olay product, and in addition to that, we'll be providing our Mailbus product, which will be focused on providing a mail backbone that will integrate all the popular mail servers in the industry, including Lotus Notes, Microsoft Exchange, and our own all-in-one mail server. In terms of the newer products, although, as I say, a number of them are, in fact, shipping or about to ship, we will be offering a suite of Internet security products. The first product is actually shipping now, a firewall product, and we'll be offering tunneling products in the very near future. A second category of software around internetworking is mobile computing software. This is software that will allow a mobile or remote user to access all the resources on the network, and that will be shipping later in this calendar year. A third category of software is software which can be used to collaborate very dynamically, to create dynamic teams that can collaborate across the Internet, and that software will be shipping in about a month. And the fourth category of software, which is the one which will be out a few months from now, is around doing a mail server and a directory server for the Internet. And we are very, very enthusiastic about this product suite. We think we have the most complete set of connectivity software products in the industry. We think they're very forward-looking and that they're strongly oriented towards both Windows NT and the Internet, although, of course, by being connectivity products, they connect across multiple platforms, which go far beyond just Windows NT.
Could you tell me the names of those products that is going to be coming out most and the soonest?
Well, the two products that are coming out shortly that have names associated with them, for the mobile computing, the product is called the Mobilizer. It was announced that in June of this year, and as I said, it'll be shipping at the end of this calendar year. The product around collaboration is called the Web Forum, and that will be shipping in about a month. The digital firewall product, I think, has the unimaginative name of the digital firewall product. I think we'll probably come up with some better names for that and for the other products that I mentioned.
Okay. Are these going to be sold directly to end users, or are they going to be sold as OEM products also? Because you mentioned channels, different types.
We have a very highly developed channel strategy for these products. We have divided the portfolio into two parts, which we call client-server software and internetworking software. The client-server software were the three things I mentioned earlier, PolyCenter, Object Broker, and the Mailbus. The primary distribution channel for that will be system integrators, which include digital but also any number of other system integrators.
Uh-huh.
The distribution channel for the internetworking products that I mentioned later will primarily be LAN VARs and internet service providers. The distribution strategy for this software is overwhelmingly indirect channels.
Next question, please. Next question, Michelle.
William Fellows, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Is your first platform on most of these products NT? I got that impression, since it was PolyCenter for NT is going into this operation, but I didn't hear anything about PolyCenter on Unix.
Okay, we have PolyCenter on Unix, and we will continue to support that product for customers who wish to do network system management from a Unix workstation. But the product that we're actually announcing are just about now, I'm not exactly sure which week it is, but we're announcing it imminently, is the PolyCenter NetView running on the Windows NT platform. And that is the product that we're focusing for our connectivity business. Our belief around connectivity is that Windows NT will be the platform on which a number of these services are delivered. So, for example, with PolyCenter NetView NT, you can manage an entire network, which includes the Unix systems, VMS systems, and systems from other vendors from a Windows NT console. So the focus on Windows NT is where the software management software runs, but in fact the entities that you can manage are a very diverse set of entities.
So this whole unit is really very NT-centric, isn't it? I know it's cross-platform and all of that, but that's the nature of the beast.
It's very NT-centric because we are an independent software business. And as an independent software business, we look for the largest volume opportunity for software. It's our belief for the class of software that we're defining, by far the largest volume platform will be Windows NT.
Right.
So we're just applying the normal thought process you go through as an independent software provider. You pick the platforms where you can sell the most software.
So how large is this software business? How many people, and what are your estimated revenues then at the end of the first year?
With respect to that, we just started the business unit, and so fundamentally we're not prepared to answer those questions. But in a general sense, we don't break out, other than a really broad brush, how we do as far as revenues and population by business unit. And it's just a company policy not to provide that level of detail. But this particular unit is being formed even as we're sitting here, from the software resources that previously were existed in other organizations and parsed into the manner that Bill just described. But I think it is interesting to note that Digital spent in fiscal year 95, just ended July 1st, $1,040,000,000 in research and engineering worldwide, and approximately one-third of that investment supports software. I see going forward for FY 96 and 97 and beyond, that approximately one-third of our total research and engineering will continue to be focused on software. This is a thing we haven't highlighted much in that fashion, but it gets at your question somewhat. It's a very significant investment at Digital. The nature of it's changing, and that nature is changing in order to allow us to focus on the connectivity future that we perceive, the opportunities that we see that are brought about by two changes in the marketplace today: the emergence of Windows NT as an enterprise operating system, and the explosion of utilization of the Internet for interconnectivity.
So this is something to take up against IBM's software group under John Thompson.
I have no idea, because I'm so busy running this company, I didn't have too much time to pay attention to what John Thompson is doing at IBM. But I do think they have a somewhat more difficult challenge in that they have a multiplicity of architectures and operating systems that have yet to be rationalized. Digital has a very clear strategy. We have two platforms, Intel architecture and Alpha architecture, that complement each other. We have three operating systems, our OpenVMS, which is most scalable, most robust, most reliable for mission-critical data and applications. Unix, the only 64-bit Unix in the industry today that's available for commercial applications, and Windows NT. And we have a unique strategic relationship with Microsoft that Bill Gates and I announced on October the 2nd. So our strategy is a lot cleaner and clearer about our platform strategy, our operating system strategy, and what we're going to be accomplishing in the connectivity business unit.
Wes, do you have anything?
Yeah, are you saying then that Polycenter for Unix is not in this business unit? Do I take that's what you mean?
No. I think we're dealing with a fairly arcane point. Because the code base for Polycenter on Unix and Polycenter on NT is the same, it makes no sense to have two groups supporting that product. The position that I was taking was that strategically in the marketplace, we are going to be taking a very aggressive multi-platform channel strategy around Polycenter on NT. That's the product we expect to sell in high volume and sell it through other than our own direct sales force. Is that a clear answer?
I think so, yes. Can I ask more generally then, what's the future for Unix inside digital? We've seen you partner with Microsoft. We've seen the migration strategy from VMS to NT. 2 years ago, Bob, when you were talking at Uniforum, you talked about the economically unsound Unix development model that was that pertained at that time. Has that changed at all? And what about digital's vision for the future of Unix? How do you see it playing out?
Okay. Fundamentally, we've continued to invest heavily in Unix, and as I mentioned, we had engineered the only, from the ground up, 64-bit commercial implementation of the Unix operating system. This has been extraordinarily successful. Our competitors have yet to deliver 64-bit Unix, and the ones they're planning are generally adaptations of their 32-bit implementations and suffer some handicaps as a result. Our investment in 64-bit Unix enabled us to announce on April 11th of this year with Oracle Corporation the industry's first very large memory database to exploit 64-bit addressing capability for the database, very large memory in main memory, and a digital 64-bit Unix, which happened to run on our 8400 system called the TurboLaser internally. We demonstrated orders of magnitude greater performance with that system than any other system previously. And Larry Ellison of Oracle, as a matter of fact, stated at that meeting in his that he was going to move his entire company's financial and decision support systems to TurboLaser running that Oracle Oracle 7 database. Since that time, all of the database vendors of any size have committed to develop 64-bit implementations to run on 64-bit Unix. Today, there's only one choice. It's digital and our platform. I think that I'm going to be giving the keynote speech this year at Unix Expo, so most of my comments would be better delivered there. It's on September 19th. But I think that there's a growing awareness, certainly in the Unix community, that we did not, as an industry, deliver on the promise to customers of real applications portability at the 32-bit implementation level. And so that customers that bought into a particular Unix vendor's products and software had a great deal of time of achieving vendor independence that they were seeking. That vendor independence is provided by Windows NT, so the Unix purveyors now understand they've really got to do something different at the 64-bit level. To that end, we've got 40 or 50 companies that have agreed to work together to develop a standard set of APIs and programming models for 64-bit Unix to be announced by the end of this calendar year that we hopefully can agree on supporting so that we can bring more standardization. However, I would like to say that since my speech at Unix Expo, where I spoke on 2 years ago, where I spoke on the importance of meeting Spec 1170 and adhering to industry standards that are agreed to my knowledge, at least sitting here, Digital is the only large major Unix purveyor that actually did what we said, which is achieve that compliance to the point that we were authorized to call our product Digital Unix, which we do. You'll notice that our competitors have some other letters that they attach to their names because they're not yet able to use the name Unix. It's just not compliant enough. So we are adhering to standards. We are promoting standards around Unix. We're investing heavily. And we are making our major marketing strokes and our major engineering investments in attacking the high-performance Unix part of the marketplace. We'll support all the applications, but our focus is really on high-performance applications, both technical and commercial. We have a tremendous opportunity with our TurboLaser system and the very large databases that are available or soon to be available from all the vendors, including Oracle, to take that and to achieve leadership in those applications, because it'll be a year or more before we have any serious competition. So Unix is a very important part of digital strategy. It remains an area of focus and investment and an area of growth for digital. We see it very important. But the thing that's inescapable from our view is that by the end of the decade, most large IT shops will be operating, let's say 95% of them probably, will be operating in an environment that includes both Unix, includes Windows NT, and probably still some legacy proprietary operating systems. We think that digital is uniquely positioned to help those customers integrate that environment so that it's more productive, more reliable, less complex, more manageable, at lower cost. And we're investing in our services organization, our engineering organizations, and throughout the company in order to deliver that competitive advantage to our customers.
Have people been seconded over to this new division now?
We just started. We're starting to identify people to become part of the new division, as well as people to move into the SBU and the SI organization, as Bill Strecker described.
Is anybody running it in the absence of a head guy?
Bill Strecker has my direct proxy to lead that effort and to assist in the recruiting of the leader for the unit.
And how many people do you estimate this unit is going to comprise?
I don't think we want to give out that number, but this will be a significant business unit of the corporation. It's expected to deliver significant revenue to the corporation, and even more importantly, significant profit to the organization. This is not a small effort.
Bill, the next question, please.
David Bicknell, please state your company name followed by your question.
David Bicknell from Computer Weekly in London. I've been speaking today to some people involved with a major deck site, the Royal Dutch Navy in Holland, which is one of the largest three-tier client-server DCE sites. Can you comment on how you feel about DCE and what its potential is in your new strategy?
Okay, DCE is an underlying technology on which one builds more complex capabilities around client-server computing. One of the things that you know that we have taken a leading position in is around object technology, and particularly bringing the Microsoft object technology to the enterprise. One of the key underlying technologies of that is DCE. It's not the only one. But I think the important thing is DCE, for us, like many other vendors, remains a key base technology. But the interesting thing, I think, for customers is to really look at the higher-level capabilities like COM-OLE that we can put on top of it.
I'm very much aware of the Royal Dutch Navy account because I had the pleasure of visiting them personally this year, and I think we won that business on the basis of the total portfolio of services and technologies that we bring to bear on the problem they're trying to solve. It's a very highly valued account and certainly has my attention personally.
Do you see that being a flagship DCE site for further digital contracts along those lines?
Well, certainly it is a flagship account for digital, and it's a flagship installation given the magnitude of the task that they've taken upon and they're trusting us to deliver.
Our next question, please.
Lori Vallegra, please state your company followed by your question.
Yes, this is Lori Vallegra with Reuters. I know you don't want to talk specifically about revenues, but can you talk a bit about the time frame that you expect the significant revenues and the contribution of profits?
As I said before, we have the luxury in this new business unit to really get a jump started with existing products and technology. This business unit will bring significant revenue to the corporation in the next year, and we expect it to then go into a very rapid growth phase going beyond that. I don't think we're going to share any numbers beyond that other than say this is significant, and the revenue is delivered to the corporation right away.
I think it's clear that when we recruit the leader, which we're out looking for at the present time, as I said, and we recruit the leader for this business, it will be up to him and his team to develop a business plan that I will accept as far as revenue growth for this year and the years beyond. But there's no question that the market opportunity is growing at a very high rate. We've sized this opportunity so far as connectivity software is concerned, and we see it as a tremendous market that is just now emerging that will extend well into the next century as an opportunity for digital.
Okay. Will the profits be within the next year as well? And, you know, how much do you expect this to be of product revenue versus service or support for getting these products out?
There'll be some profit associated with it this year, of course, but, again, we're not sizing that. Fundamentally, this is an investment phase at this point to address a new market, which we're trying to communicate here. Your other question was?
It was around service, and the answer is no service whatsoever. This is entirely an independent software business unit. Its revenue will be derived from products. The distribution strategy will be through indirect channels, some of which will be provided by digital, for example, our systems integration and our multi-vendor customer services. But the business unit itself will be entirely focused on software revenue and software derived from software products.
Next question, please.
Deborah DeVoe, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, I'm calling from InfoWorld. You talked about seven categories of software. All seven of those categories are going to fall within this connectivity business unit?
That's exactly right.
Okay, would you be willing to run through those seven categories? Because you went through some other products, but they didn't seem to match up to a category per se.
Well, Deborah, if it would help, we could just have somebody call you after the press conference and go through them in very significant detail.
Certainly, that'd be fine. And then in regard to your firewall product, you said it is now shipping?
That's right.
And the tunneling product, you said in the near future. Can you give an idea of what near future, what type of time frame that is?
We'll have an announcement on our entire Internet security product in October. And at that time, we'll lay out the product strategy in great detail and the shipment plans.
Okay, thank you.
And next question.
Fred Gardner, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, Computer Reseller News. This is for Bob Palmer. Both IBM and Hewlett-Packard have restructured their companies such that they can offer product procurement, integration services, asset management, and lease and financing to large global companies seeking to outsource those activities. What is Digital doing to address this outsourcing phenomenon, and also how will the channel participate as Digital pursues those accounts?
Well, we had been very innovative in providing outsourcing capabilities that are consistent with our competencies. That is, with respect to client-server computing, our multi-vendor customer services organization is responsible for our outsourcing activities. They have been profitable, and we see that as a growing market. On the other hand, financing we have arranged through third parties when the need arises for financing, but we are not in the business of going in and buying somebody's data center in order to run a glass house type of installation. What we're doing is everything from PC utility, software utility, to managing networks for clients, taking on the total responsibility where it's appropriate. We're trying to make sure that whatever outsourcing we do is very consistent with our specific competencies. In the case of PC utility, for example, we were winning a number of awards this year as being the first company to come with that offering. And it's not a trivial offering. We have customers that we cannot name at this point whose ambitions are to roll out as many as 50,000 PCs throughout their worldwide organizations and to have Digital provide all of the service, that is, the design, the selection of the product, the acquisition of the product, its installation, training of the use of the product, and then the updates of the software for the client, and also retiring the product and replacing it with improved products as they become available when it makes the most sense. In some cases, these may be digital products. In other cases, they may be competitors' products. So this is a software service that our competitors are now trying to emulate, but we're the only one out there with it so far, at least to my knowledge. Very successful, and there's a lot of demand for that. So the services that we're offering are somewhat different. They're new, they're focused on client-server, three-tier computing, and they are fundamental to digital strategy going forward in services. They're multi-vendor, and they are distributed on a global basis.
Next question.
Liz Galisi, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, hi, this is Liz Galisi at Bloomberg. I would be interested in what percentage of all of the software you sell will be going into the connectivity business unit, and then what percentage each in your high-performance Unix segment and the Windows NT segment.
I don't think we can give you an exact percentage.
No, just a rough...
Well, let me see if I can just sort of answer your question. Right now, we have a large software business in the company. Most of that software was developed to support our system platforms, and in particular, it includes the very large category of operating systems, namely VMS, OpenVMS, and Unix. So if you look at a snapshot, in 1995, you will see that the bulk of the revenue, software revenue of the corporation, does show up in the categories of operating systems and closely aligned products. We do have a non-trivial business in connectivity software, and that's the business that we expect will very rapidly grow over the next couple of years.
You call it a trivial business now or a non-trivial business?
Trivial business. There are many, many millions of dollars of revenue in connectivity software. But that's the area where we see the most rapid growth occurring in software for the company in the coming years.
Many millions of dollars, but not billions, of course, yet.
I'd be very pleased if it were billions, but we'll take a little longer to get there.
All right. So percentage-wise, then, the connectivity stuff relative to all that you sell is quite small.
Yes, it is. That should be very clear. Today, it's quite small. As I mentioned, we are a $14 billion corporation. Mm-hmm. We have been going through one of the most dramatic restructurings of any company in any industry of any size comparable to ours for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. One of the few companies that was able to restructure more than one-third of all of its assets while maintaining its revenue. We've reduced the population from a peak population to somewhat less than half of that peak population. We've reduced the number of manufacturing plants from more than 35 plants to 10. We've gotten ourselves fit. We've returned to profitability, having 3 quarters in a row in the black and having the first profitable fiscal year in 1995 since fiscal year 1990. Now what we're talking about is how are we going to grow the business, having restructured it so that we now align ourselves according to market realities and that we have developed a infrastructure and a cost model that is competitive. So we are saying that so far as growth is concerned in the future, we'll keep doing all the things we do well today, and they will grow somewhat. But a lot of growth will be driven from this requirement, really, in the marketplace for connectivity among disparate systems of operating systems, applications, network protocols, and the like, and the increasing aspirations of our customers to have access to data of their enterprises, how they want it, where they want it, when they want it, through a graphical user interface that they would like to use. This is where digital is going to focus its competencies and its investments in order to provide that profitable growth. Today, it's a small part of the business. In the future, it will be a significant part.
Is it fair to say that right now that it accounts for less than 5% of your software revenue?
I think what's fair to say is that no amount of questioning will cause us to divulge what we don't intend to say.
Well, I'm not talking about
dollars.
I'm
very clear here, and I don't intend to be evasive. I'm telling you that I'm not going to tell you how much the revenue is associated with that software.
I'm talking percentage,
though. Quite specific that it's small, as any startup business is, but our ambitions for that piece of the business are quite robust.
Next question, please.
Chris Gibbs, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, it's Chris Gibbs from the VAR magazine in London. You've touched briefly, I think, upon channels. Now, digital isn't renowned for the stability of its channel programs over the last couple of years. To what extent is this new program likely to change the interface with your resellers yet again, would you think?
Well, I think that we've recognized that the model we had in the 80s didn't work and that it was all the directs and all of that, but I think we've made spectacular progress since 1993 in moving from a model that was almost totally direct channels. In 92, the fiscal year 92, we only moved 25% of our products through indirect. To the year just ended, 95, we moved 58% of digital's products through indirect channels. We're getting better at that, and we did the majority of that in fiscal years of 1995, so it's a tremendous change. Now, the software business unit, however, will not exclusively use the same channels because in many cases the channels for software, again, that are multi-platform and are software as products, are different. And the new charter will be to develop those channels very aggressively in order to reach the widest possible audience. In other cases, they will be just additional products to move through channels partners we already have. But we have a very aggressive program of developing channels and partners, and it's totally different than what was the situation when I started this task 3 years ago.
So you're looking to provide incremental channels predominantly for this this particular sector of the business, or do you think much of it will come from your existing resellers?
I think it'll be predominantly new channels that we need to bring on board that are more specific to the software industry.
Thank you.
Please.
Helen Beckett, please state your company name followed by your question.
I'm calling from Deck Computing in London. It seems that Digital has pretty good recognition among its existing Deck VMS customers of its software portfolio, but that it has a pretty low visibility amongst the multi-vendor community. I'm wondering how much or what proportion of the sales of the new connectivity division or middleware division is expected to go to non-DEC users?
I think your observation is entirely appropriate because, in fact, we have not offered multi-vendor software in the past except in very, you know, a very small number of cases. In contrast, the software that we're developing in the connectivity software business unit will be entirely multi-vendor, multi-platform software, and we would expect that a significant portion of that software was sold on other vendors' platforms.
Next question, please, and this will be our last question.
Michael Goldberg, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, this is Michael Goldberg from Computer World. I just wanted to ask you, what should your installed base, what message should they receive? There may be lots of people who are wondering whether their applications will continue to receive support or development or new versions.
One of the things that we laid out in our software strategy, we've communicated to the various analysts and is in the white papers, that I'm sure we can make available to you as well, is a very clear roadmap for all of our existing software products. And I think that our installed base, our VMS installed base in particular, we're very pleased with what they see. We have placed a lot of emphasis on making sure that our installed base does have continued support and orderly migration plans where that's appropriate. So I think the installed base will be very happy with what they see.
Will there be any more divestments in among your software products? Earlier in the year, you sold some.
We've sold a couple of software products. There's nothing that would preclude us from doing that in the future, but there's nothing that I can comment on at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you.
This brings our teleconference to a close. If you have follow-up questions and or would like a copy of our background paper on the company's software strategy, please call Dan Cafferly at area code 508-493-2195. Additional information on Digital and the company's strategy, as well as copies of some of the papers, are available on the Internet and can be accessed through the Digital homepage, which you can reach at www.digital.com. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.